I'm thankful to know Jesus as my Lord, my Savior, my friend, my King, my companion, my joy, my hope, my pleasure. I want to look into the wonderful book of Hebrews. How many of you study in the book of Hebrews? How many of you studied in the book of Hebrews? Well, I don't think we can just say that certain books are the best or better, but this is just awful good. So I want to have a few scriptures. First one is the first chapter and the first four verses. God, who at sundry times, or various times, and in divers or different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir or possessor of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And you think about that. Jesus was from the beginning. We find in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Oh, dear ones, I tell you, this wonderful Jesus, he was from everlasting. He was from the beginning, from before the world was. He was part Son of the Almighty God. Wonderful. He has spoken unto us. God spoke through the prophets in the ages past, in the Old Testament. We have him speaking through the different various prophets and those who were faithful to him. But now it says, in these last days he's spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. How was he the Son of God? He was begotten, conceived in the womb of Mary. She was a young woman that was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. And before they came together, before they got married and started living together, she was found to be expecting a child. And we have in Luke, they have a wonderful story. Have you read it? Wonderful story of Mary, the young woman of Nazareth, and how that the angel Gabriel visited her and told her, says, Hail Mary, thou art favored among men. Great is the fruit of your womb. And she wondered, what in the world? What was this? And then the angel told her, says, Fear not, Mary, for God has chosen you, and you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. Yes. And she just said, Well, how can this be? I'm not married. I don't have a husband. And then the angel told her, says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And that holy thing that will be born of thee should be called the Son of God. And then he told her, he said, about her cousin Elizabeth, how that she had conceived in her womb in old age, and was looking for a little boy, little son. And you know what, Mary? She just said, be it unto me according to your word. She just accepted it. And right away she took off down across the country to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And what happened when she came in to visit Elizabeth? Have you read that? What happened? What did Elizabeth say? Blessed art thou, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. It is something that the mother of my Lord should come to me. She knew that Mary was to be the mother of Jesus. Don't you know those two women had a big, wonderful time? They were both so happy. And they were so blessed. And Mary, she made some wonderful statements, said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he that is almighty hath done to me great things. And holy is his name." Oh, she was so happy and so glad. She was to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Oh, how wonderful. He has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the brightness, the brilliance, the dazzling splendor of his glory and power, Jesus brought that down, come in the human flesh, and the express image of his person, the very exact likeness of his character, of his goodness, of his love, of his mercy, of his help, of his power. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. After Jesus had accomplished his great mission to be the price and the atonement for the sins of mankind, and they killed him, they hung him on the cross, crucified him, and then took him down and buried him in the tomb and sent a bunch of soldiers around to keep somebody from coming to get him out saying he was alive. But what happened on that third morning? Those soldiers were there watching that tomb, and an angel of the Lord came down, rolled the stone away, and the soldiers became like dead men. Jesus came out of that tomb alive. You ever study to think about what it was that Jesus is risen from the dead? What was it? What did he have? He had an immortal body. That's what he had. He was immortal. He could appear and disappear. He could do anything. And for 40 days, he walked with his disciples and began to show himself. And they all knew he had died. And they'd been buried, put in the tomb. But now he's around showing himself. Even one of them, whose name was Thomas, he hadn't been there when they first showed himself. And they told him, said, "Well, we've seen the Lord." Well, he said, "Except I shall see in the print of the nails and run my hand into his side, I won't believe." He wasn't going to believe it. That Jesus was alive. But the next time Jesus came in amongst them, he singled out Thomas right away. He said, "Thomas, reach hither your hand, and to behold, look and see my hands. And put your hand in my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Don't you know, Thomas? My Lord and my God. Imagine he just fell down before him and just, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are they who have not seen and believe." Are you one of them? Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, thank the Lord. I tell you, dear ones, I've studied, I've pondered, I've meditated. It's just wonderful. And he begins to quote several scriptures in this first chapter. I want to go on now to the second chapter. In the first verse, he quotes several prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, and then he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders of divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. And then he quotes from Psalms, I believe, chapter 8, about says a certain place he testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou art, thou visited him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. I believe another translation says, I made him lower than the angels for a little season. He brought him down from heaven. That's just Psalm 8. That's speaking about Jesus. And it says, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Why? Because he has ascended up, and when he comes again, then everything's going to come under him. But right now, he's at the right hand of God interceding for us. Let's see. Let's read a little more here. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He died for you and for me. He suffered the awfulest death that could be ever be suffered, the death of the cross. Can you imagine? Did you ever try to imagine and think about what it was like for him to be nailed with big old nails driven into the planks of the cross, and then his feet driven with nails, and then lifted up and brought up and hung up there for everybody to look at? Shame and a disgrace. And yet he bore that for us. He became him by whom are all things and for whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He was made the captain of our salvation, but he was perfected in that because of what he suffered. You know, it was you see him in the garden. Just before that awful thing began to work out and come to pass, we see him bowing down and praying earnestly, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. That's what he said. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he had to pray that for three times as he's in the garden with his disciples. He came back and found them sleeping. He was under a terrible burden. He was a human being, yet he was facing the awful death of the cross. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, and he's quoting now from the 18th Psalm, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He will declare the name of the Almighty to his brethren, to his disciples, and to us too. And again, I will put my trust in him And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. That's from Isaiah in the, I think, the 8th or 9th chapter he's quoting from. You see, in the Hebrews, he quotes from the Old Testament just over and over again and applies them to Christ. The Christ was prophesied and predicted and foretold that what was he was going to do and how he was going to come. Being born of a virgin. That was prophesied. Isaiah 7:14. Tell us what how it's going to be. Well, thank the Lord. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Verse 14. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He died, he suffered death, so that he could destroy him who had the power of death. That was Satan, the devil, had the sons of men under his grasp, and his sin and death is awful, ungodliness, transgressing God's law. But Jesus came and he took death for you and for me. Can you think about that? Don't you see what we owe to Jesus? We owe him everything because he delivered us from death and eternal damnation, because he took our place. All humanity, all nations, all languages, everybody in the world can have a part in what Jesus provided. Don't you love Jesus? You like some of the songs we sing? Let's sing a verse of My Jesus, I Love Thee.
163.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the folly of sin I resign. Give it up. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, Jesus.
Now in our book, it doesn't tell the real author. What does it say? A London hymn book? That's maybe where they found that. But the one that wrote that was a teenage boy that had just gotten saved. His name was William Featherstone. He just had gotten saved. He was so happy to know that he had been forgiven and Jesus had died for him. I don't remember if it was 17 or 14. I was thinking it was 14 years old. But anyway, he was just a teenager. And he wrote the words to that song. He lived to be the age of 27 and died. I hope he was still saved when he died. I want to meet him in heaven and tell him what that song has meant to me. I love that song. Let's sing the second verse now.
I love thee.
Because, why? You first loved me. And purchased my pardon. On Calvary's tree. Born
ground. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. Verse 18 says, For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help those who are tempted. Jesus is able to help us. I want to go now to the fourth chapter of Hebrews and the 14th, 15th, and 16th verses. There's lots of wonderful reading between this here, but I just wanted to get some of the high points. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now, in the other scriptures before that, it spoke about how Jesus was made a high priest at the right hand of God to intercede for humanity down here in this world. He went through the suffering, he went through the sorrows, he went through the awful pain, and then he died on the cross, and then he rose again and appeared with his disciples for about 40 days. And then, as they were there gathered with him on the Mount of Olives and listening to him, and he was with them, he just started going up. And they watched him. Wouldn't that have been something to see? They watched him. I don't think that he went right away fast. I think he went slow, but it doesn't say. But I just have a feeling like he went slowly but surely. And they watched him. And finally, a cloud received him out of their sight. I don't know, I'm sure, though, that he told them what was going to happen, because he'd been with them for a good while. But he went up and he disappeared in the heavens. And while they stood there watching, two angels came down and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why you stand up here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see going up into heaven will come in like manner as you see him go." Isn't that wonderful? He's coming again. You ever stop to think about it? The last 2 or 3 weeks, I have had an awful strong feeling that the end of time is coming soon. Have you had anything like that?
Yes.
When I went to Monarch, our camp meeting, we had one of the best camp, well, the best camp meeting I was ever in. And this one here is coming right up with it. But I just wondered, maybe the Lord's going to come and we won't have to go back to our house. But he didn't come, so we don't know. We just have to wait until he gets ready to. But he looks at us. Think how long it's been, all through these over 2,000 years. But I still believe he's coming. And we want to be ready. But I thank the Lord that he is up there interceding. Now this is what it says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. See, that's what he did. He passed from earth's realm up into the eternal realm of eternal heavens. Passed that. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Priest is the intercessor, the one who goes between man and God. That's what a priest. He is the high priest, a great high priest. They had Aaron back in the old Bible and other priests that took his place. But here is the high priest, the eternal high priest, the real high priest, Jesus. Seeing we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our testimony, our belief, our persuasion. Let's hold fast. Hold on to that. That's your only hope. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He went through everything that we could ever go through, and he never failed or grieved or sinned against his Father in any way. He never yielded to the devil. He never was overcome by Satan and the temptations of the world. He was faithful. He was true. He was obedient to God. And now he is our high priest, appearing on our behalf at the right hand of God. That gives you free and access to come to him at any time for any burden, for any need, for anything you need help in. You have the privilege to go right before him, and we can all do it at the same time, and he can hear us at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, I have thought like this. He went to the right hand of God. He ascended to that place where he is to be our intercessor and our high priest. And he has been doing that ever since. He has never had a vacation. He's never had a break. He's never had any stoppage. It's all been all the time. You believe that? He's all over the world. People all over the world are coming to him. He's hearing them all. There was one man that was being killed and martyred for his name. Remember who that was? And while he was being tried and convicted and sentenced, he looked up. What did he see? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he made a statement about it. Now what made the other people angry? They just come on and they just stoned him to death, Stephen. First Christian martyr. But he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Listen. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was triumphant, victorious. He overcame. Now listen to this 16th verse. This is such a blessing to my heart. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that wonderful? Have you been there to his throne today? You need to go every day. You need to go several times a day. You need to go just every few minutes. You need to breathe a little prayer. Lord, help me now. I need your help. Get up in the night, go down, pour out your heart to the Lord. This is our wonderful privilege. This is our wonderful, joyful, glad, happy blessing and treasure is for us to have access to a man that was here in this world and overcame all the temptations and the powers and the forces of the devil. And we can go to him, and he can help us to have the victory over everything we need to help in. You believe that? Let us therefore come boldly. Children, you children, listen to me. There's a few children. Always remember, prayer is your greatest privilege that you have. That's the greatest privilege you can. You can go to the Lord in prayer wherever you are. You don't have to be on your knees, but it's a good thing to get on your knees. But you don't have to get on your knees to pray. You can pray right from your heart. I pray a lot of times going down the road driving my car. Yeah, you can pray. Pour out your heart, Lord. Lord, help me to know what to do. Guide me. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank him for all he's done. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I thank the Lord for my Jesus. And goes on in the next chapter. There's a part in this here that about his suffering I want to notice. Hebrews 5 and verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, this day, today have I begotten thee. That is from the second psalm. That second psalm is a prophecy of Jesus. You ought to study it and notice the different places where it's quoted in the New Testament. And this is one of them. Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. That's a prophecy of Jesus. And he saith, as he saith also in another place, and this is Psalm 110. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest in the time of Abraham, a priest that lived at a place called Salem, which later was, I believe, Jerusalem. And he was a priest of the Most High God. And Abraham gave him tithes of some of the wealth that he had got from a victory, and a victory that he had over some people that had come in and took. Oh, it's just awful what happened. But anyway, that's from that. Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Not after the order of Aaron and the Levitical priest, but the priesthood of Melchizedek. Now listen. Who in the days of his flesh, is talking about Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. Did you know Jesus wept for us? He wept under the burden that he had for us. Strong crying and tears. When he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He was heard because of his piety and godliness and submission to his will. See, he prayed in the garden, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He submitted, okay. And whenever those men came to get him, he didn't try to stop them. He just let them do it. They took him and tied him up and took him away and run him through a mock trial. They were wicked. They were ungodly. Yet they were supposed to be priests of the Most High God. But they hated Jesus. And he was the true Son of God. They took him out the next morning and hung him on the cross. He was heard in that he feared. He was heard because he was obedient and faithful to God. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad for Jesus as our wonderful Lord and Savior. We go over now into the 6th and 7th chapter. It speaks about Melchizedek and also the Aaron priesthood in the Old Testament and all. But in the 7th chapter, I want to notice, speaking about those priests under the law, verse 23 says, they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, there are many priests under the old law because when one died, then somebody else had to take their place. But this man, talking about Jesus now, this man, because he continued ever, has an unchangeable, unfailable, it's just right, it's perfect, it cannot fail, an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's ever living to make intercession for you. Whatever your need is, and you need to seek him for salvation, forgiveness of your sins, victory over the world, victory over self, victory over temptation and the devil. You need to seek him for that. He's able to help everybody that needs him. He's able to help them have the victory over the devil and sin and evil of this world. He can help you to be an overcomer. Overcome the world. Praise the Lord. For such a high priest, 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. No bars, no limit. If he saves you to the uttermost, give you the victory over your temptations and hard places and difficulties. Oh, wonderful. Such a high priest became us, or was made fit for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, because he didn't have any sin. Then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself for our sins. He offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, thou art a priest forever. That's what the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He with the word, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now in verse 1 of chapter 8, 1 and 2, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, ministering to our hearts and minds and our lives, and of the true tabernacle, the true spiritual tabernacle of salvation and grace, which the Lord pitched and not man. I want to thank the Lord for our great high priest. I want to encourage all of you, children and young people especially, but all of you, be thankful that you have the privilege to go to someone who loves you, is able to help you, who intercedes for you in the heavens at the right hand of God, and he can help you, he can save you, he can give you victory, he can give you peace, he can work out your problem. He can help you with anything and everything that you ever meet in life. I have proven it to be so in my life. I have proven it. He's been a faithful help to me. I've had burdens. I've had heavy loads. I've had sorrows. I've had difficulties. I've had wonderful blessings. The Lord has blessed my life, but it's been through the help that he gave as I have sought for him each time through the years, every day, several times a day, communing with him, bearing the burdens and sorrows of life. I'll never forget when the Lord took our little oldest child. We had a little boy, Joseph. He was born August the 9th, 1961. Oh, he was a sweet little fellow. We enjoyed him. He was so precious. But on January the 30th, 1964, at the age of 2 years, 5 months, and 20 days, our little Joseph was taken from us in an awful sickness. I never thought that I'd ever have to face that. We had two little boys. Oh, we loved them. But little Joseph, we saw him breathe his last. We were standing over him with some others that were there praying with us. We had to call for the undertaker. The undertaker came and got him. We were on our way home to Springfield, Missouri from California. We'd been to the meeting out there, the meeting in Christmas time. We came by my parents' house at Guthrie. And Joseph took sick. He took sick on the way. And he died. I never thought that I'd ever have to face that. I had never even realized that was going to happen. We loved him, and he was such a sweet little fella. And after the undertaker came and got him, I was just down. I couldn't rise above it. I was just weeping and weeping. Until that evening, as I was standing in the doorway of the bedroom where he had died, and so crushing sorrow, it just seemed like I couldn't hardly take it. All of a sudden, a voice spoke in my innermost being. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will help you with right hand of my righteousness. Oh, you talk about strength and courage and comfort and grace and power just came over me when I heard my God speak from the Isaiah 41 and 10. That's where that verse is. Fear not, I'm with you. I'm going to help you. Jesus was interceding for me at that time. Isn't that wonderful? He can be your high priest. He can be your Savior, your friend, your help, your strength, your guidance, everything. I love our Lord Jesus. He's so sweet and so dear. Well, we could go on, but maybe that's sufficient. Thank the Lord for our dear Jesus. Let's live for Him. Young people, He's your best friend. He's your best friend. Amen.